Was that up in the air?
Well, we just came back from vacation, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's move on from that.
I've been there too, Jacoby. I'll just say that I've been there too. When I get that message, I'm very happy.
I too am very glad when I get that message. A message that all of us can agree is something that nobody out there should understand as to what we're actually talking about. Hello, welcome
to We'll never tell them.
Show where we will never tell you why we are talking about a message that we received or maybe didn't receive. We were very happy when we do receive. Oh, sponsored by Corona.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, all of this sponsored by Corona. Yeah, we are.
Who's drawing on me? I'm going to retweet my own tweet.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's retweet our tweets. Dominique, Jacoby, we have a substitute teacher today.
Hello.
Substitute teacher, do you want to establish your authority in this classroom?
I would love to. And I would love to talk about the Lakers. And we have a report.
Whoa.
Almost got it.
I mean, what?
He said establish your authority. Not like meekly peek your head around the corner and say, excuse me, guys, you mind if you sit down? Like, you want to try it again?
Let's do it again. Take two.
You should never establish your authority in the conditional, like in the subjunctive. I would like to establish my authority. No. You just establish it.
I don't know. And now you, Pablo. You can't teach somebody about being authoritative while also being concerned about grammar. Ain't. We do all types of things when being authoritative. So let's try it again.
Come on, Sello.
With some bass in your voice. Let's do it, Selly.
If I call Pablo a nerd for caring about grammar, would that be a way to...
There we go.
Not
there
if you
go.
Ask.
There we go.
But you can't ask. You can't ask. You can't ask. Goodness gracious. Just read the menu. Problem. We don't got
you
all
can't
that.
Ask. You can't ask me for permission to bully me.
May I please shove you in this locker?
God.
Let's talk about the Lakers.
Start the clock, please.
Start the clock. Chris Haynes is reporting that LeBron, AD, and Westbrook spoke on the phone and told each other that they're committed to running it back. And this was, you know, obviously amidst the rumors of a potential Westbrook and Kyrie swap. So does it mean anything to you guys that the Lakers' big three reaffirmed their commitment to each other?
Dominique is raising his hand.
I have something to
classroom.
Say. When you take a picture, you like suck in your gut a little bit and poke your chest out a little bit and give your best smile.
Shoulders down and back.
Yeah, I'll put my chin forward, yeah.
I would like for Mr. Cellophane to do the same thing with his voice. Because we're not asking you to like be bassy for the rest of your life. Just in the minute that you have to present the question.
Yeah.
Just hello. Like, just that's all. Anyway, back to the question. Next time, let's try it again, because you can't, it's just so Tweety Bird-ish. Like,
It feels Tweety Bird, Mr.
Cellophane. It feels like he does the voices for cartoon characters in his off time.
The cartoon characters that get eaten by other cartoon
yes,
characters.
Obviously. Did LeBron bully all his teammates the way I'm bullying Mr. Cellophane?
I was gonna say this is a good setting to discuss three people who may or may not hate each other but are forced to work with each other. Because this is kind of how this show feels sometimes. I will say that I believe nothing about the alleged meeting that took place, Mr. Cellophane.
Believe nothing!
Asking about it. I believe nothing about it. I mean, I believe that it vaguely may have happened, but the notion that they talked on the phone the first weekend of Summer League and they reaffirmed their commitment to each other per Chris Haynes, like... do you guys believe that this is actually a meaningful thing? Because I do not. I'll start there.
I have a lot of follow-up questions about this. So my number one question is who is the person that was merging the calls? I do not believe there was a conference call line. I don't believe it was a Zoom. So who is the human being that had to go into their phone, add someone else to the call? Like, who is the informational hub? Is it Russ? No. Mm-mm. AD? Probably not. And
it's gotta
be
LeBron.
I don't think LeBron can do that.
I don't think LeBron can merge calls.
LeBron can merge calls. He delegates that.
Jordan can't merge calls.
No. But if he's
LeBron,
not, I don't think
is
LeBron is waiting. I don't think
merging.
He's on the phone with AD and saying, hold on a second, let me add Russ. And
nobody,
then, and he pushes
nobody
the
in the history of the NBA, except for maybe Magic Johnson, can merge calls more effectively than LeBron James. Like, it feels like when you see him on the court, he feels like he is playing an entire game of merging calls from start to finish. Like, it's an 8-way call merge is how I would explain LeBron James' basketball style.
people are yelling at LeBron James, do not merge this call. This is a one-on-one call. Yes. Just take it yourself. And he's merging. He keeps on merging.
Yes, yes.
Bring him
he's
in.
Flopping. He's flopping, merging calls that way as well.
Whole phone book merge.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? We've gotten to the bottom of my first question, which is, who is the call merger? And I believe that that is LeBron James. But will the merger of these three companies create success in the marketplace?
God, no. Yeah. What jumps to mind for me is the word reaffirmed. And like, to me, that feels like they're renewing their vows. And it just struck me, when people renew their vows, have their vows gotten stale? Mm. Have their vows been violated? Like, what is
okay,
because
good question.
Somebody needs
good
to question. Let someone needs to let me know when my vows are stale. So if there's something that needs to be done,
right,
like, oh, no,
right.
no, they almost expired. You ain't renew them soon enough.
No, it's like, it's
it like
that.
Like a driver's license situation.
Yes, I just had to go
TSA
and figure
pre-check.
Out, like, do I got to go to the DMV in person now?
No, you
like,
don't. You don't.
Because that bears on this whole thing, Jacoby, because this was not in person. This was a call. I feel like if you're truly about renewal of vows, renewal of your DMV state-sponsored identification, that's an in-person thing if you're really about it. This was a call, and I feel like that is telling.
It really is. We've never had a call and been like, guys, let's really try hard at Debatable today, because we don't have to. Well, and the idea, sometimes it's like, it is like the renewal right. of the vows in a way. It's like, the fact that you had to get together to say there isn't a problem inherently addresses the fact that there was an effing problem in the first place.
Well, and the problem is that LeBron and Russell Westbrook were spotted sitting opposite ends of the court at Summer League.
That's not the
like,
problem.
Well, the problem is that
I mean, that's
may have happened because of, you know, the whole
that's a thing. That is a symptom of the problem. I had this situation on First Take a couple days ago where we were talking about load management, and I was saying load management is not the problem. Load management is the symptom of a problem, and they didn't seem to understand what I was saying, so I gave them another analogy, which I guess not everybody knows dope fiends, but I said it was like a heroin addict saying they have an itching problem. Because like, the problem isn't that you're itching. Like, the problem is that you're hooked on the smack. And that's what it feels like to me right now. Is like, the problem isn't they didn't sit across or sit next to each other or hug. The problem is that they didn't want to, because last year was like, I don't know the word, utter disaster, failure, embarrassment.
All of that. So the question then is, what is the Narcan for the Lakers? What is the
heroin?
Thing that they can actually, okay, you're doing the radical, just legalize all drugs, yeah. dispense the drugs in a sort of safe setting.
Whoa.
You're just saying, you guys are going to have to live with each other, and therefore you're going to have to what? Just sort of dose it out to make sure? I mean, this is a very dark metaphor now.
No.
Yeah, what's happening?
We're in a very bad place, but you no longer care about your record when you got that lean. Just
not, wait, to the whole...
Nobody's ever driven through Baltimore. I'm the only one that's ever driven through Baltimore before. Okay.
I've been in Tompkins Square Park in the last month. No, the idea that there is an issue here, right? Beneath the surface that is obvious to everybody, that is tearing apart a project that had been sort of embarked upon with, I would say, a full-throated endorsement, right? From LeBron James and Russell Westbrook got to LA, and now there is this distance. Jacoby, like, to me, this is about Kyrie, right? Like, the reason why Russell Westbrook is out here breaking up with his agent, by the way, in a public way that we've never seen before, right? Last Friday.
Sloppy.
Just incredibly on the record. Here is why I cannot work with my
this
client
man anymore, because he does
now.
Not want to play for the Lakers. He should play for the Lakers. He doesn't want to play for the Lakers. So I'm no longer going to take 10% of his $40 million because I don't want to hear it anymore. So just take your $4 million and hit the road. And then to put out a statement like that, which is basically slandering him on the way out, don't love it. Don't love it. And if I'm Russell Westbrook, you try to trade me to the Pacers aggressively. You very publicly are actively trying to trade me to the Nets. And now you want me to get on a merged call with LeBron and AD to say everything's all good? No. Give me back to the Wizards where I can get my triple doubles. That's all I care about.
I mean, he's the one who I feel like the most sorry for, if there's anyone to feel sorry for in this case, is Russ, because like that was his hometown. Like I feel like it's not anymore. Like he's an LA kid. With UCLA. Like he was supposed to come back and be conquering champion, but he came back and he did all the things that he had been doing, and now everyone's mad at him, like, you are destroying the Lakers. They came and got me. They know who I was when they signed me up. Like, to me, it feels unfair what's happened to him. Maybe he had some part in coming there, but like, he came and did what he does, and then y'all don't want it like you want it. I just don't get how people could have expected him to be a different player than what he was.
So that's the thing about what Darvin Ham is saying, right? So Darvin Ham, the new coach of the Lakers, has been saying that he wants Russ to be a meaningful player. He believes in him. But if you read, not even between the lines, if you just actually see the full quotes of what he's saying, he's also being like, we need Russ to do, I don't know, like screen setting for LeBron, right? Like to be
a stopper.
Yes, to defend, to set screens, to be the guy who is not the guy. Right, to be a guy as opposed to the guy. And Russ is clearly, for all the Darvin Ham quotes that are positive, they try to dump on Russ. I'm like, that got me excited having him. But he also wants him to actually be the player that he's best suited to be, which Russ clearly disagrees with.
I mean, that's the job of the coach. Like, you don't get hired into a good situation. No one has ever in the history of sports been, like, hired into a good situation. This is probably as good of a situation as you can be in. So, like, I'm sorry, this is that Darvin Ham's not one of the people that I feel sorry for. It's going to be very hard to manage a locker room with LeBron James in it and an aged Russell Westbrook. Yeah, you knew what it was when you signed up. So, like, your job is to figure out how best to use Russell and how best to, like, satisfy LeBron James while also keeping AD healthy and centering the offense and defense around him. It's a lot to do. It's a real hard job. So maybe he walks away with a few million dollars and a bad record, or maybe he's a celebrated candidate. Like Ty Lue did it, being with LeBron.
He did.
This is, guys, let's advance this. Let's do the ESPN media thing where we take this and stretch it way too far and just get crazy with
it. Yes, I like it.
Another thing that Darvin Ham needs to do, keep LeBron James in Los Angeles. Let's not forget, LeBron James is in the last year of his deal. August 4th, he is available to extend his deal. And when they come to him and they say, I know you had a nice little Zoom call with your buddies, the Russ and AD, but how about you commit yourself to the Lakers for a couple more years? And LeBron James says, hell no, y'all need to prove it to me this season that you're worthy of my services, or else I will hit the free market where perhaps I can play with my son, Bronny, and perhaps I can own a team in Las Vegas. Let's just go all the way there. This is ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports. Let's take it all the way there.
No, I don't even think that's ridiculous, though, because the whole thing of LeBron's leverage right now, like, this is the thing that's happening behind the scenes, right?
Your
LeBron James, guy who's, I know, I've been trying to
insane.
Fix it for literally
I feel like,
30 minutes.
Like the Lakers PR
for,
is like
for the
your
podcast
hand.
Audience.
The Lakers are your hair, and Lakers PR staff is your hand, and you're just fighting against something that you cannot fix.
Yeah, see, it's the problem. I have the opposite problem of LeBron in this way. I have too much hair, and he just won't cooperate.
You look like a bird of paradise. No.
The problem isn't you have too much hair. The problem is you don't care about the hair that you have. Like,
remember when Earth, when the birds did those mating dances? That's what your hair is doing.
Yeah,
right now. It
is.
Horny
hair.
David Attenborough narrating two birds boning is honestly
exactly
one of my favorite
what's happening on your
genres.
Head.
Yeah.
Are you sure the Lakers want LeBron back? Like, I know it feels like a dumb question to ask, but like,
I love Dominique. This is going to take it even further. I love what you're doing here, Dominique. Are we sure the Lakers want LeBron? Oh, God. Oh, well done, sir. Well done, Mr. Foxworth.
You Pablo,
really
answer the question.
Your footing here, ESPN.
It's been six years. Finally figured it out.
Okay. I know we're trying to get aggressively more ridiculous in the questions that we're asking ourselves here. I think there's actually a basis for some of these questions. And it's because behind the scenes, LeBron James has always been the shadow general manager, right? Now he is asking for Kyrie Irving. He is asking. He is 37 or whatever he is right now, verging on 38, right? Like, he does not give a shit about a first round pick in 2027 or 2029.
No. Nor should he.
These are the things being haggled over.
What?
Nor should he, right? But the Lakers, they're thinking to themselves, they're thinking already, what is life going to be like after LeBron? Like, that's not a hypothetical. They're bracing for that. And they're saying, we don't want to give up those picks. So what leverage does LeBron have? The leverage he has is what Jacoby just referenced. It's the fact that on August 4th, he can sign an extension. But if he doesn't, if he doesn't, and that door is just ajar, right? And through that door walks Stephen A. and everybody else at ESPN every day. Like, this is where we are part of the machine that they are terrified of, truly.
But LeBron would never deal with that, right? LeBron would never hold a franchise hostage like that with an impending free agency decision. He wouldn't do that. There's no track record. Oh, wait.
I mean, I holding hostage seems like so, like, negative. Like, I don't feel like
good
that
point.
Is like,
exercising your leverage. Yeah.
Yeah. LeBron James is offering them a deal. That's great. You know what? You can get the best basketball player of a generation for a few measly picks sent away. Just send those measly picks away. And for a few more years, you'll have the best basketball player of a generation who is capable of winning, bringing a title to your town. And let's not forget, AD also with Clutch, the agency that LeBron James does not own or operate.
That's right. He just merely is responsible for the entire professional livelihoods of the people who do own and operate it. Mm-hmm. But I would point this out. I'm going to wear a hat backwards.
Oh my God. Wow, you oh my God. You've given up.
Is this working?
You've given oh my God. Don't do that.
It's worse. It's don't so do
that.
Much worse.
That's way too far back.
Is this a thing that I can pull off?
Oh my God. No. You cannot. No. Don't do that. You're better off wearing one of Dominique's football helmets.
I will throw one from here. To
New
York.
Okay.
Now I look like Short Round. That's why I can't wear caps.
You do look like Short Round.
That's why I can't wear caps. Now my hair's even worse. God damn it.
Just get past it, bro.
Should I mention that the person that LeBron wants to bring in that the Lakers are, we are saying, very wrongfully rejecting as an employee is Kyrie Irving? Like, I do feel like this is where the debate does deepen when you're like, but you're bringing in Kyrie. And I think everybody in the league, literally everybody, except for the Lakers, has decided we don't want this guy.
Well, last time Kyrie and LeBron were on the same team, he asked out after That's going true. To the finals.
I thought you were going to say they won a championship.
No. Yes. He said, I don't want to be here anymore. I hate this. I want to leave. I'll play anywhere else than with LeBron James. And now the dream scenario for both is them reuniting. This is a mess, and I love it. This is like, it really is like your hair. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. There's a spike, and there's a valley. There's a peak in the valley, Jeez. And there's
Kyrie.
Very suspicious parting.
But, I mean, it does change the dynamics of the team. Like, they would have to make other moves, but, like, I don't see a realistic championship run out of this team without making that move. Like, I don't think that move alone makes them, like, favorites in the West. It makes them a place that might be able to get somebody else that could put them in that conversation. But right now, with Russell, they sell some tickets, I guess. Like, they're not a championship team. LeBron will be burning up another year of his illustrious career.
Not. Yeah, here are the free agent signings. Thank you, Mr. Cellophane. Lonnie Walker, the fourth. Shout out to the three previous Lonnie Walkers. Yep. Damian Jones, Troy Brown Jr. Shout out to the previous.
What is Lonnie short for?
Thomas Bryant, Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Lonald?
Lonald.
Sorry. Can you look that up? I'd love to know what.
It's a good question.
For. And there's three of them before.
Does Donald's Ronalds are Donnie and Ronnie? So logically,
he's Lonald.
Lonnie
would
be Lonald.
It could be Lonald. Throwing that out there. Yeah, the Lakers are going to be. They're going to make the playoffs.
What if it is Lonald.
Maybe be a play-in. They're going to lose in the first round, and then we're going to talk about LeBron James. Where he's going to go? What's he going to do? Blah blah blah. For another 3 months next summer, it's going to be great.
What you got for us, Cellophane?
Lonald?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's not Lonald. It just says Lonnie on his Wikipedia page.
What about his birth certificate?
So you're trying to tell me that there's three other people named Lonnie?
Yeah, in the 1800s, they were like naming people Lonnie with an IE at the end. I'm not buying that.
How are you going to chime in with the interjection that has incomplete information?
Clearly misinformed.
Also, stop hating being the bearer of bad news. You're supposed to love being the bearer of bad news.
I'm a big cellophane fan. Cellophane, I support
But he didn't have any news. His news was,
listen,
I don't know.
Nobody bats a thousand. Nobody bats a thousand.
It wasn't news. It was like, y'all think it might be Lionel?
Yeah, guess what? Maybe it's not that, according to Wikipedia, which is always
no,
right.
No, Wikipedia doesn't say it's not that. It just says Lonnie.
In 1905, a young man was not named Lonnie at birth on his birth certificate. That did not happen. Let's move on.
But you think he was named Lonald?
Move on to Charles Barkley. I'm brainstorming here, okay? At least I'm not misinforming the people. I'm a journalist.
Yeah, come in here and talk about Wiki said his name is Lonnie the fourth. They got four Lonnies.
According to Wikipedia, I'm like a senator in Iowa. Look it up.
Let's move on to some golf.
Look it up is a great line.
So we're moving on to Charles Barkley. And last week he said that 100% yes, he is going to meet with LIV Golf because they're, you know, they want him as a potential analyst. How big of a deal would it be if Charles Barkley left TNT for LIV Golf?
Oh, man. I mean, Charles Barkley that was me being electrocuted being about to endorse the LIV Golf Tour. Charles Barkley just has diplomatic immunity in ways that no one else has. Remember when Charles Barkley, our friend Charles Barkley, held that like town hall on race and it was disastrous and everybody forgot about it?
I don't think they aired.
We're going to have to start a dialogue. It was a meme.
Yeah.
It may not have aired, but it was so bad that it never became like the thing that they wanted it to be. And it was disastrous. Dominique's holding his head in his hands.
I forgot about that, Pablo. Thank you for reminding me about that. Like I said, just like Mr. Celepin, no one bats a thousand, even Charles Barkley.
But the point is that no one has to wear their stats. Like if you're, I mean, Charles Barkley, everybody else has to wear their stats. He does not. He is diplomatically immune to many things. And so if you're LIV Golf, like honestly, there is nobody I'd want more than Charles Barkley.
Well, first of all, Cam Smith said that he might join the LIV Tour right after winning the Open, which I thought was amazing. And the thing about this question here, if I'm going to be nitpicky, he's just going to add LIV to the repertoire. He's not going to leave TNT. You know what I mean?
TNT might make him leave.
He's not going to sign an exclusive contract. It's not an or situation, it's an and situation. And sometimes TNT would be more than happy to have him do LIV Golf and do Inside the NBA.
I think that's the crux of the question is how upset are people going to be about human rights issues by the time Charles Barkley makes it to LIV? Because TNT, I would argue they would certainly split Charles Barkley with LIV if none of us cared. If we're all angry and upset about Charles Barkley participating, I guess, in washing the reputation of Mohammed bin Salman, then that's a problem. But if we don't care about it, I don't think TNT cares. I don't think Charles Barkley cares. And to be completely honest with you, like, I understand the criticism that comes with the guys who are a part of the tour or with anybody who will work with them. But, I mean, I know our appetite for outrage. And when we get over it pretty quickly.
Yes. No.
And I'm not sure we should be aiming our ire at Charles Barkley anyway. Like, the problems that we're talking about are so big.
Symptoms, Dominique. Again, symptoms.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the problem here. The problem itself that happens in Saudi Arabia, the many problems are so big and so, like, atrocious. The idea that us as a society are going to gather around and yell at Charles Barkley because he could solve this by not commentating golf matches. Like, I get it. It feels like something that we should do, but it also feels like maybe we need to go yell at other people who are like helping him.
Dominique, you make a great point. You make a great point. However, I couldn't hear it because I spent the last 4 minutes just thinking about which relative I would kill. That's all I could think about.
So this is Charles Barkley's quote.
Because grandma just died. She was like 94. I would have definitely gone with her, but she passed. So that's a tough one. Yeah,
You have to do it yourself. You have to physically do it, or
you have to. No, you can't just delegate that. You have to kill a relative. I don't know.
Oh, gosh, that makes it even harder. If it's one you can't beat? Well, I guess you have to sneak him. You got to poison somebody's drink or something.
No, I can.
But this is the whole thing of like the quote is if somebody gave me $200 million, I'd kill a relative, and it is a quote that is both funny and real, and a thing that quietly people are thinking about and calculating in the ways that we're all kind of like doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, but this is Dominique, to your point, right? About like, what does shame mean to this entire power dynamic, right? Where do we as people who complain about things matter here? Like at every turn, it's like, wow, there's great comedy here. But then right around the corner is a fucking, I'm sorry, I actually didn't mean to curse just that, but there's a bone saw.
Yeah.
There's like a bone saw, right? So like the idea of like, wow, I'd kill a relative, ha ha ha. It's like, but literally people are being killed. And so the question of like, I don't want to cancel Charles Barkley. I don't even believe that he can be canceled.
Impossible.
But the notion, Dominique, that you're speaking to, right? Which is that lots of people are reading the currents of public relations backlash,
right,
and deciding this is where people complaining does matter. There's a thumb on the scale. Maybe it's not enough to change the way things weigh out in the end financially, but if we surrender to that, then a guardrail, truly crucial guardrail for what we consider bad does get lost. And this is where I'm like, yeah, I feel like a school marm, but it's also real.
Yeah, I don't know what the right answer is, and I appreciate David steering us to the fun of this and away from the not fun of this, but like Pablo brings us right back to the not fun, and it seems particularly hard to be like coming down on Charles Barkley for being a bad golfer and making some bad jokes while like the president was just over there like fist bumping him. So like it just like the whatever like sports washing that Charles Barkley's affable face will lend, like, I don't think it has nearly the same impact as publicly having a meeting with the president. So like, I don't know, all this stuff is not to absolve Charles Barkley of whatever guilt that he should feel, should he take this or any of the guys who are participating in the tour, but it is to put it in context. And I guess the president has other reasons, like diplomatic reasons to be there. Charles Barkley is not lowering oil prices or saving people in any place by doing his great, not great, his very entertaining but terrible golf swing for people to laugh at.
Yeah, I mean, I will return to the vague amount of comedy that I can sort of morally justify here, which is simply like, if you are Liv, right? Like, who are you trying to bid on as your ideal ambassadors? Yeah. Because I
can't
think
beat
it's
Charles
like
Barkley.
I think Charles Barkley is easily number one.
Yeah, probably
right?
A1 right there.
Yeah.
And then number two, like, who are we thinking? The
know.
Rock? I feel like it's
what
The
are
Rock.
We doing? Where are we in the history of this country where you are going with two black men? Like, is this not America?
Because David Faraday is the guy they hired, right, as an announcer. And that's cool. Like, he's a good announcer. Like, that's a signal that, like, okay, the institution's willing to, you know, like,
I feel like Reese Witherspoon is who they need. Like, that's who I'm thinking. I was going through my mind. I was like, who is the white lady that's, like, not threatening, cute enough that you want to be her friend, but not so pretty that people are intimidated or angry about him? Like,
wow.
Reese Witherspoon falls perfectly in that category. I think Liv Golf need to pony up and get Reese over there and everything.
Mr. Cellophane, just before you put the check there, I just want you to know that it would be my Uncle George. He's old. He's got health problems. The Uncle George.
I hope Uncle George is not a real person. I hope you just did that for comedic effect.
Oh, that is my father's brother, Uncle George, George Jacoby. 200 mil. I'll buy him a nice headstone.
Oh, man. I think you need to save his consciousness, like in Westworld, to like a pearl or something.
Well, I hope he's not tuning into the ESPN YouTube channel right now. I'm sorry, Uncle George. I would murder you for $200 million.
I feel like Uncle
and
George
then I would spend
would be
some
okay
of that money.
Yeah, he's
he would spend
old.
Some
he's
of that money to
problems.
Cut his head off and then preserve it, though, to be yes. cryogenic.
Ted, right next to Ted Williams. Right next to Ted Williams in Arizona. Yeah.
Exactly right.
I mean, great transition, Jacoby. Come on, great trade, Pablo. Use that. Ted
what?
Williams.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Come on, bro.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Speaking of,
why don't they freeze the whole bodies though?
The great hitters.
If you got money to freeze a part of your body forever, like
Don't come mind me up. Like, just go ahead.
We don't know how this works.
Yeah.
If you're
JIC, I might need my legs. So let's just throw that in the freezer too.
You just believe that my consciousness exists in my brain. Maybe it's somewhere else.
It's in my elbow. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great point. If your apocalyptic ice locker doesn't have room for my torso, then I have follow-up questions about how robust your operation is.
Yeah, my whole body.
Look at that.
Got his own card.
Yeah, I'm just using this so that we can move on.
Oh, God.
And we're going to move on to the Fine Life presented by Corona. And living the Fine Life is Giancarlo Stanton. He hit a 457-foot home run last night in the fourth inning of the All-Star Game, drove in two of the American League's three runs. His team won, and he was awarded All-Star Game MVP. So because of his performance last night and because the Yankees have been so good all season long, Giancarlo Stanton is living the Fine Life. And Pablo, I know you're a Yankees guy, so
I am.
Talk about Giancarlo Stanton and how good he's been.
Whoa.
What are you objecting to?
See, I'm being a good teammate is what I'm being. Like the sentimental value of Stanton, like he like hit home runs into the portion of the stadium where he used to
go watch with his pops.
Like that's
him and his
fun.
Friends used to pool their money together to buy tickets. I'm like, wait a second, me and my friends don't pool money together so one person can go to a baseball game. That's not how that works.
Your
I'm not chipping in on your ticket. How's this?
Your friends are selfish. Your turn will be next time, Jacoby. No. Just go ahead and get me over the gate this time.
I do love that, though. Dog. But keep going. Sorry. With the
Uncle George's ticket to the afterlife.
Anyway, Pablo, I'm sorry. You got angry at me for cutting you off. You're about to go into your Yankees explanation. Please tell us all that you know about the Yankees.
I mean, all I'm here to really say is that the Yankees are apparently going to win more games than anybody else ever has in the history of baseball. So pretty good season for them. But the thing that's even more fun, honestly, just based on watching the All-Star stuff, is that like it looks fun to hang out at the All-Star game.
It looks fun to be.
We're talking about like being like the big man on campus. Like, who is the guy? Who's the alpha here? Like, that's what all of these conversations come down to. Being the alpha dude, and I hate the alpha as a concept, it's very just, like, again, patriarchy, all that stuff.
It's also not based on any scientific fact. Like,
that's correct. I know.
There is no such thing as an alpha wolf in a wolf pack, which is, like, where all this alpha started from. But anyway, proceed, Pablo.
No, it's true. The guy who made the original alpha wolf study actually, like, recommends that you burn his books because he totally got the study wrong. And so the entire notion of masculinity is premised on a lie. Spoiler alert, there are no alphas. What was I saying? Oh, but if there were to be one, Giancarlo Stanton would qualify. And it looked like he was having a hell of a time just hanging out with his bros.
I was watching
being real famous and rich.
And it seemed like obviously football is not a game that lends itself well to an All-Star game. Basketball certainly is one. Baseball, it is also, with exception of pitching. I was watching and people was throwing 100. Like, I thought we just counted pitches. I thought we were like so worried about these pitchers' arms. Like, I would be infuriated if I'm a manager and I'm watching my guy clock 90 and 100 so he can get an out in a game that used to matter, but doesn't even matter. And then I'm going to have to ice his arm when he gets home. Like, that's not, I don't know. I've never thrown a ball 100 miles an hour, but it seems like you only got so many pitches in your arm before you need surgery or before it's not going to be.
If you would throw
anymore.
A baseball as hard as you could right now, Dominique, what number are you hitting?
I never really played baseball, so I don't know. What's like average, like 50? Can I get to 50 or is that low?
60, probably 60. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can throw, but it hurts. My shoulder hurts. If I play football with my son or something, I throw it too far or too much. By the end of the next morning, I'm stiff. I'm old.
I'm growing. Which is why I'm not going to seize on anything that Dominique just said that had a double entendre in it. But I will point out that I love the idea that the manager of an all-star team in Major League Baseball is kind of like a valet who just gets to mess with people's cars for the entire day. It's like, I'm going to go drive this Ferrari around.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if you don't want me to.
Yeah. I'm not going to have to pay for the tune-up or the upkeep when I scratch up the rims When I pop a tire, mess up the suspension, yep, I'm going to send them right on back with you, and then you can figure it out later.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
What?
Uncle George
Alonso. Alonso. Pete?
Alonso? It's Alonso Walker?
Oh, morning? Oh, I got you. Lonnie.
Wow.
That's what my research is yielding so far.
I tried for like 45 seconds. I couldn't get it, but wow. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Alonzo Walker the fourth. Cellophane.
You should be embarrassed. This man is masterfully hosting a show while also pulling off the research you should have done.
George. Damn, also, Alonzo is Uncle George's middle name.
Really?
R.I.P. Uncle George.
All right. Well, I really... Hold up. R.I.P. Uncle George, you killed him already?
Yeah, I did during the break.
How did you do that? And why are you still here if you have $200 million? What is going on?
It's just a passion for the content.
Just Venmo'd. Venmo'd.
All right, Selfie, hit us up. Hit us up with the Aaron Judge one, buddy.
Yeah, and I do want to say before I eat crow on this one that...
You already ate the crow.
No.
I don't know if that's true. I need to see it.
Yes! Yes!
Damn it.
I need proof.
I love this.
I need proof.
The truth doesn't matter anymore. Well, like, come in. Just grab them, drop them, and say what you got to say. Stop saying knock, knock, and then knocking on the door and saying, please, can I come in? Just go ahead and kick the door down. Just one good time. Just walk in with some moxie.
All right. Well, I'll do my best. That was just for you. That was just for you, Dominique.
Thank you.
I love Mr. Cellophane so much.
We have a what are the chances for you guys that kind of builds off of the Giancarlo Stanton topic. His buddy Aaron Judge was also at the All-Star game, and he's set to become an unrestricted free agent this offseason and was asked about it. And so we have a video for you guys. Cool. And our question is, what are the chances Aaron Judge will still be with the Yankees next season?
Let's watch.
And Aaron, finally, I have an editor. His name is Matt, and he has a son named Jacob who came up the other day really upset from his school in Astoria. He just came over. He's like, are you telling me that Aaron Judge may not be a Yankee after this year? What do you have to tell to Jacob right there and to all your fans that want you to remain in a Yankee uniform? I wasn't going to put you on the spot. I mean, we're on live TV.
Yeah, no, Jacob, buddy. You know, we got a lot of great Yankees on this team. You know, there are a lot of great Yankees. Be here for a long time, you know, so don't be upset. Don't be upset. Hopefully you'll be a Judge fan for life.
Oh no.
Jacob was uncomfortable.
Oh no.
Okay.
I will say a couple of things here. One, anytime someone says buddy in their answer, bad news is following.
They say your name and then follow like Jacob,
yeah.
Buddy.
Jacob buddy. You've won the lottery is never a thing anyone has ever said. Right, we're always about to be let down.
Jacob buddy, got some bad news. Uncle George seems to not be doing that well. It appears that I don't know, he has stab wounds. I'm not sure. No one signed in except for a David Jacoby, who he said was his nephew, but I don't know what happened to him, Jacob buddy. I'm sorry. Hope you stay a Judge fan for life.
Mr. Cellophane, I'm going to say $500 million is going to be my answer because that's how much money they're going to pay this man. He's going to make $500 million. $500 million. I can't believe that Juan Soto turned down $440 million and just said, you know what? I'm a holdout. It's going to get better.
Dominique, Jacoby, buddy, you're a little optimistic, buddy. A little too optimistic,
David, buddy.
I mean, the whole thing to me is that this is now kind of the market value. And so the thing about baseball player right now who is that good, if you're Otani, if you're Judge, if you're Juan Soto, it's like, this is just the going rate. Like, I don't know if the Yankees have a unique advantage here. It does feel like he's negotiating via Jacob. In this case, like he's sort of saying, like, buddy, Jacob, I'm going to have to...
Hopefully you'll be a Judge fan for life. The idea that he said a Judge fan was just insane to me, but we can move on from that.
Dude, Judge fans call themselves...
A real tough time.
Jurors?
Yeah.
It's a real tough time to be a Judge fan, buddy. To be a fan of judges, buddy.
Good point. Great point. Oh, I
do they call themselves like bailiffs? Is there? Do they have like a fan club? The judges?
Like a night court?
Yeah, night court. Now that was a good show. Man,
great show.
Good show.
Very sexy show for late night television.
Let's go to the next one.
The same show.
We have minute 40. We have.
I say 100%. Pablo says 100% too, because David wants to move on.
I want to see the next one.
Fair.
We got a minute 30 and 90 seconds. We got
Mr. Cellophane.
We had a minute 30 2 minutes ago. You ain't see him sneak something. We came from that video. Yeah, they snuck a couple minutes back on the clock there. I ain't going to catch that.
That's right. If you guys want to talk about James Harden for
a minute and a half,
you guys are welcome to.
Yes.
All right. So what are the chances it was a smart move for James Harden to ask Daryl Morey to sign other free agents and pay him, quote, whatever is left over?
I got to start with this one. I love this move from James Harden. He's like, it's not that I'm washed up and not worth a max contract. It's just that I want the team to be better. I told Daryl, don't pay me lots of money. No, don't do that. Use the money on other players, and then whatever happens to be left over, I will sacrifice and graciously take. It's definitely not that I'm not worth the money that I want. It's that I want to give it to other people. You're welcome, City of Philadelphia. I love this move from James Harden.
I love this. It's a hell of a smart move, and that's the value of having relationships with people and treating people like human beings and not Cogs said you can move around. I know Daryl Morey gets a hard time for like numberizing the whole sport, but it seems like whatever happened, his relationship with James Harden is such that they both want to save each other the embarrassment of things not working out. So they could find a way to get him. He just needs to produce like a documentary or something. And Ruben's can invest in it. Like we can get you some bucks now if you need some bucks.
I love this.
Well, the Ruben that Dominique mentions there, right, who was the minority owner of the Sixers, who is not a minority himself. It's an important distinction. He is a guy who owns Fanatics. You get it. The point is, though, that guy left the Sixers. He runs this giant multi-bazillion-dollar company now, and so everybody is theorizing, well, is there just a payment on the side? Is this like a TB12 getting his own kind of thing at Foxborough that's not on the salary cap, but is, in fact, a thing that the team is basically directing? There are questions about that. All of it's just to say that it is very smart to control the narrative here and say, this is because I am actually generous.
Pablo, before we go, your question for you, 76ers, losing the first round, losing the second round, lose in the conference championship, lose in the finals, which one?
Is win in the finals a possibility?
That was my follow-up question. Because unlike Mr. Cellophane, the Sixers are about to win the NBA title,
Jacoby. There you go.
They're about to win the NBA championship.
We got Daniel House, who coitus his way out of the bubble. Now we're going to win the championship.
You know what there is? Jacoby, you know what there is? There's no I in Daniel House. This is a team.
Yeah, I feel like losing in the first round is
Daniel House. Great finish.
Losing in the first
really
round
stuck
is
the
best.
You really stuck the Mary Lou Retton there, Pablo.
Yeah.
Daniel
would never show up with hair like that. Mary Lou.
I mean, the hair is awful.
Mary Lou would have had that hair trained.
It's awful.
I want to apologize for cursing.
You know what we should get you?
Showering.
Right. Whenever you're
abetting the murder of Uncle George.
Whenever your birthday is, David and I are going to get you a toothbrush with some gel so you can get your edges right. Because that's really where this all stems from. It all stems from not controlling your edges.
No,
I told you, I didn't know the edge brush was an edge brush for the first time you had a relationship.